Last chapter of the Gospel of John. And here's my subject this evening is basically three words: love, obey, and follow. Love, obey, and follow. We're in the last chapter of the book of John. Look at verse 15, and I'll just read the text to you. And I'm going to read down through the 22nd verse. And the scripture says, "And so when they had dined," that is the Lord Jesus and these seven disciples, and they had quit the ministry, and they had decided to go back to their former way of making a living, and the Savior went after them, and he does that to his disobedient sheep. They didn't wait for him in the mountain as the Lord had instructed them to do, but rather, I suppose they were there for a little bit, and then they just decided upon Peter's prompting. Peter said, "I'm going fishing. I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm going fishing." And the other guy said, "Well, we're going too." And so they all went fishing. And you know the story, how that they weren't catching anything. And the Lord Jesus, very tenderly, isn't it good he's always full of compassion toward his people? Even when we err, he still loves us. He didn't write these men off. He didn't say, "Well, you know, you quit the ministry, now I quit you. You're finished with preaching the gospel, so I'm finished with dealing with you." No, he doesn't give to us like, unfortunately, sometimes we give to him. He doesn't reward us for our unfaithfulness, but rather he is very patient. He's very forgiving. He's full of pity. He has great compassion for all of his people. And he manifests that here in John chapter 21. And so he has fed these men now. They made no contribution to the feast. The song she played just before the service, "The Master Calls, Come and Dine." All things were ready for them. And he gave them an appetite, and they came, and their appetite was satisfied. And so after they had eaten, verse 15, now we get there. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. Then the Lord Jesus said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And then Peter, turning about, he seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That is, he's talking about John. John, which also leaned on the Savior's breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Of course, he's referring to a passage back in John chapter 13. Peter seeing him, saith to Jesus, and evidently the Lord Jesus began to kind of walk away, and John just got up, and he was the one who followed him. And Peter, he's seeing what's happened. He saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So here are the words we want to work on this evening. Love, obey, and follow. You know, one of the first things, I was rereading this again today, and I always like to kind of, if I'm going to preach on a passage of Scripture, I like to kind of saturate my mind with it. Because it's an amazing thing about the Word of God, and I know you have discovered this, even as I have, that the more you read a portion of Scripture, the more you will see in it. It's like a gold mine, and the deeper you dig, the more nuggets you'll find. That's the way it is with the Word of God. It is the Word of the infinite God, so it's the infinite Word of God. And as I was rereading this, it dawned on me what the Savior, what is said concerning these men. Look back at verse 9. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Have you ever read that expression before, a fire of coals? Well, go back to John chapter 18. Look at John chapter 18. And I'm wondering if this didn't, I'm almost certain it triggered Peter's memory. Because when he saw what the Savior had for him, here's a fire of coals. I'm sure Peter's mind went right back to this occasion just a few days before this. John chapter 18 and verse 18, and the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals. And guess who's there? Simon Peter is there. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them. He stood with the enemy at these fire of coals. And he warmed himself. And now here he is in John chapter 21. And once again he is chilled. After all, he has been out fishing all night long. He is hot and sweaty, and he had shed his clothes. And then when they heard the master's voice, children, have ye any meat? He dived into the water, and he began to come to shore, dragging the net with the 153 fishes that the Lord had, because the Lord had said, cast the net on the other side. And here comes Simon Peter. He's pulling the net in, and so he gets to shore, and he goes up on shore, and there he sees, guess what? He sees a fire of coals. But this on this occasion, it's the master who has made the fire. It's the master who is going to warm him. And I think of how faithful the Savior is to us. Here is a needy disciple who has been disobedient. He's a wayward disciple. He has denied the Lord three times. And it was all right there at a coal of fires. And now here's a coal of fire, or fire of coal, and it's the master who has made this for him. And he warms himself. And I think that as I read this fire of coals, it was like a preacher to Simon Peter. You know, the Lord can use inanimate objects to speak to his people. He can use it to trigger a memory, to trigger an emotion within us. And I'm sure this pulled the trigger on Simon Peter, because the last time he was in a situation like this, he was with the enemy. He was siding with the enemies of the gospel. And here this time, it's his Savior. It's the Master. The Master sends this ever so silent preacher, but oh, so powerful. He knows just how to get our attention, doesn't he? He gets Simon Peter's attention. And he doesn't give a harsh rebuke to Peter. And certainly he doesn't give him a word of condemnation. He doesn't say, you're going to pay for this. You're going to pay for those 3 times that you denied me. And now you've quit the ministry. No, there's not a stern word of rebuke. Now, there are times when the Lord rebukes his errant people. But even when he does that, it is always there's love behind it. There's a pity behind it. And so he comes to Simon Peter to speak to him. And Peter, of course, had denied him 3 times. And now he's going to ask Peter virtually the same question he'll ask this 3 times. 3 is the number of fulfillment, the number of completion. As he had denied the Lord 3 times, now he will avow his love for the Savior 3 times. That brings us to the first word we want to consider, which is love. Love. Peter is questioned as to his love. Without love for the Lord Jesus, we're nothing. We may have a great profession of faith. We may say we believe much, and we may speak much, and we may do much, and we may give much, but without love for the Savior, it's all useless. Everything is worthless if there isn't back behind everything, if there isn't love. We read in, there's a passage, and you know it well, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, is the love chapter. And there we read, love doesn't fail. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. Charity never faileth. It will never fail. It will never end. Real love for the Savior will never end. Why is that? Because his love has been shed abroad in our hearts, and we love him because he first loved us. Will his love for us ever end? No. Will his love for us ever be cooled? No. Will his love ever change? No, because he's the same and his love is the same. And because he is the one who loved us and he poured his love into our hearts, therefore we're going to love him. Now, we won't love him perfectly till we get to heaven. But we do love him. Love is so vital. Love gives value to all the things that we do as believers. It's love for Christ Jesus. You know, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we read that love never fails. And then it says that now abides faith, hope, and charity. Or, as most of the translations today say, love. And that's a perfectly reasonable translation. Now abides faith, hope, and love. What is faith? Well, it is believing the Lord. It is laying hold of the Lord. Faith is based upon knowledge. It has to do with agreement with the knowledge, and then it has to do with commitment. If you ask me to tell you about faith, I'd say, well, it's based on knowledge. People say, well, you folks just have blind faith. No, faith isn't blind. We believe the Word of God. We believe God is who He says He is. We believe we are who God says we are. We believe that the Lord Jesus is the only Savior for folks like us. We believe the Word of God. This is a knowledge that we have. So you people don't know anything. Well, we do know a few things. And more than that, we know someone. We know Him whom to know is life everlasting. We know there's God. We know God's holy. Don't have any idea how holy, but I know He's holy. He's so holy He can't receive me as I am. And I believe I have a knowledge of myself. God gives to everyone He saves a knowledge of themselves. At least some degree of understanding of their lostness and their spiritual disease. And we, having been given that knowledge and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, the only Savior, and that by His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary, people are saved. We're given this knowledge and then we agree with that knowledge. I don't have any argument with what the Word of God says. We're not like those who say, I know what the Bible says, but I just don't believe it's that way. Oh, that's not a believer speaking. Because a believer says, I have this knowledge. God is teaching me of Himself. He's teaching me of myself. He's teaching me of the Savior, the only mediator, the only way to God, of His blood shedding, of His righteousness that I've got to have. I've got this knowledge that I'm learning, and I agree it's all true. That's what faith said. Faith says, I agree with what God says, notwithstanding what anybody else might say. Faith says, I agree. But faith is based on more than knowledge and more than agreement. Faith is commitment to that one that the Bible speaks of as being the only Savior of sinners. And we commit ourselves to Him. That's what faith does. That's why Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. I've committed my soul. I've committed my life. I've committed my eternity. I've committed my all to Christ Jesus alone. Sinking or swimming or whatever, I just run to Him and I lean on Him. And this is the way a believer goes through life. We go through life leaning on the Beloved. Leaning on the Savior. And when time comes to die, that's the way to die. Leaning on Christ Jesus. That's faith. And then hope. What is hope? It's a confident expectation of future blessings based on God's Word. Based on what God has said. That's what a hope is. And we have a good hope, Paul says, through grace. But, now about faith, hope, and love. And this is what he says, but the greatest of these is love. Why do you say that, Paul? Because faith is going to someday be exchanged for sight. We believe, Peter says, we believe Him whom we haven't seen. But one day, we're going to see Him. We're going to see Him face to face. And faith as we know it now will be no more. And hope. Hope is a confident expectation of future blessings based on the Word of God. But one of these days, hope will be exchanged for reality. Because we'll know the fulfillment of all the blessings of God in Christ Jesus when we see Him face to face. But love, the greatest of these is love. Love will never end. It will only be perfect in heaven. Therefore, Peter is asked this question three times, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Do you love me? This must be vital for the Savior to put the question to Simon Peter three times in a row. And you'll notice what he didn't ask, and there are any number of things I could say to you at this point, but this is what kind of got my attention this morning as I was thinking over my days in Arminian religion and thinking about so many false prophets today. He didn't say, Simon, son of Jonas, do you believe that I died and was buried and rose again the third day? That's a question a lot of people, preachers ask today, right? You hear that asked. And people say, yes, I believe that. And they say, well, you're saved. You're saved. Believing those facts about the Lord Jesus Christ, even believing that they're the truth, that's not salvation. The devils believe and tremble. Ask the devil, do you believe Jesus lived, died, buried, and rose again the third day? Say, yeah, I believe that. Were you going to pronounce him saved? He's not saved. Here's what they don't have, and here's what most people don't have, a love for the Lord Jesus Christ as he is set forth in the Word of God. We've got to love him as God sets him forth, as the Lord, as the sovereign, as the ruler, as the divine one. This is what the Jews hated about him. They hated the fact that he said, I'm the Son of God. They had no use for Jesus of Nazareth because of that. Listen, I love the fact that he's the Son of God, don't you? If you're a believer, you love the fact that he's the Son of God. That means he can do business with God on your behalf. He's qualified. He's qualified to enter right into the presence of God and do business with God on my behalf because, number one, he is God, and number two, he's my brother. He's bone of my bone and he's flesh of my flesh. And before I get off on the next point, go to the next point, which is obey, I give you one other thing. I was thinking about Simon's threefold denials. And I was thinking about his last words to the Savior before the Savior went to die. Do you remember what he said? And I'll bet you these words, I bet you they just haunted him. Over and over again, because when here's someone that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, but more than that, the Savior loved him, and the Savior truly loved him with all of his heart, right? He loved Simon Peter with an everlasting love, and I'm sure as Simon Peter, he had denied the Lord, he denied the Lord three times, and then the Savior, after that last denial, the Savior caught his eye. He just broke his heart, broke Simon Peter's heart. He just went out crying. And I bet you he thought to himself, what was the last thing I said to the Savior before he went to die for me? I said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, I will never be offended. You can count on me. He said, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. I won't be offended. I'll never fall away. That's what he was saying. I'll never trip and fall. I bet you those words, rolled around in his mind quite a bit. Last thing I said to the Savior before he died. There's been many a person, you know, they think about it. Maybe their loved one, they died an unexpected death, and then they get to thinking, what was the last thing I said to them? Oh, no. Maybe I had a fuss with them, or I said something I shouldn't have said. And people grieve over that sort of thing. And it's a heartbreaking thing. You know, I wish I'd have told them I loved them. I bet Simon Peter said, I wish I'd have told the Savior, oh, Master, thank you for your willingness to lay down your life for me. But no, I had to be a hot shot. I had to be a big mouth. I had to show my arrogance and show my pride. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Don't you expect that's the way he felt? I just know that's how he felt. But he really did love the Savior. You say, preacher, what is a Christian capable of doing? Anything a non-Christian will do except for the grace of God. I'll never deny him. Oh, yeah, that's what Simon Peter said. All these men will eat. Lord, you can't count on these other guys. But you can count on me, really. Famous last words. Okay, second word is obey. After each of the confessions of Simon Peter of loving the Savior instructed him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. This is obedience. He's given a command to do something. Now, first of all, these lambs and sheep are not without an owner. He says here in verse 15, feed my lambs. Verse 16, feed my sheep. Verse 17, feed my sheep. Who are the lambs? Well, young believers. And I think feeble believers, those that are weak, those that are struggling, feed the lambs. And then feed the sheep. The sheep are more mature, but they still got to be fed. But whether they're lambs or sheep, the Lord says, and he makes sure Peter understands this, they're my lambs. They're my sheep. They're not yours. They're mine. Peter was an apostle. He was a preacher. He was gifted in many ways, but the sheep and the lambs didn't belong to Simon Peter. They have an owner. It's the Lord Jesus is the owner. In his high priestly prayer to the Father, he said, I have manifested thy name unto men that thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. They're my sheep. They're my sheep by divine choice. All that the Father giveth me, he said in John 6, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out, given to him an eternal election. It was for these that he came to lay down his life. They're his sheep by gift, they're his sheep by purchase. He bought these sheep, they're here, they're bought and paid for. If you go to the store and you buy something, you fully expect for the cashier to have someone bag it up, or maybe you have to bag it up yourself these days, but you fully expect to get what you pay for and to walk out of the store with it. You paid for them, you got it. The Lord Jesus paid for his sheep. He paid for the lambs. He bought us with a tremendous price, his blood. He bought us, he ransomed us. And having paid our debt, having fully purchased us from divine justice, he says, these are my lambs, They're my sheep. They're mine by gift. They're mine by purchase. And then he could say they're mine by effectual calling. I've called them. I drew them. I wooed them to myself. They're mine. They're mine now by volunteering faith. That is, they have believed me, and they believe me because I gifted them with faith. They're my sheep. And he's the shepherd. He's the seeking shepherd. He's the nourishing shepherd, the seeking shepherd. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 11 and 12. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek my sheep. I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. And he's the nourishing shepherd. Isaiah 40, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. And is this not your testimony that he has carried you in his bosom? You're one of his sheep. You're one of his lambs. You were lost and he pursued you. He found you and he picked you up. Luke chapter 15. He puts you up on his shoulders. And he goes home rejoicing. And he says there in Luke chapter 15, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep. My sheep, which was lost. That's what he did for you. You're his. And he's the good shepherd. John 10:14. He knows his sheep. John 10:11. He's the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And he's the great shepherd. Hebrews 12:20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And he's the chief shepherd who will soon appear, 1 Peter 5 and verse 4, and ye shall receive a crown of glory. Well, and here's what Peter is to do. Feed the lambs and the sheep. That is his order. That's the command that he gives. Feed my lambs and my sheep. He didn't say entertain my sheep. He certainly didn't say fleece my sheep. He didn't say beat my sheep. He didn't say punish my sheep. He didn't say fuss at my sheep. He didn't say weed out those that you don't think they are sheep. No. He said feed the sheep. Here's what a preacher's responsibility is with the Lord's lambs and sheep. Is to feed them sheep food. And it's amazing, the food will of itself, the food has such power, the gospel, the word of God has such authority, it has such power, that it will seek out the sheep, and you'll know who the sheep are because they'll eat the food. And the goats will say, I don't like this food. And so then they go off and they start eating briars. Or they'll start eating empty tin cans. Goats will eat about anything. That's why I call false churches goat pastures. Because the goats will eat anything, but the sheep are very peculiar. They only want the grass. They want the good stuff. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Feed means nourish and keep my sheep. In fact, it has within it the idea of indoctrinate my sheep. Instruct them. Remember the Savior said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Teaching means you give biblical instruction. Doctrinal knowledge. There must be a ministering of the Word of God. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to feed the sheep, which means give out the Word of God. And you'll know who the sheep are because they'll say, that's good. Good not because I say it or any other preacher says it, but good because it's the Word of God. It's sheep food. It nourishes. When Paul met with the elders of the church at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And the word there means indoctrinate, lest someone else come in and misguide the congregation. Let's be specific. Let's say things and let's never be ashamed to say things the way God says things. If God says election, let's say election. Is that okay? If God says predestination, let's say predestination. If God says justification, let's say justification. If God says righteousness, let's say righteousness. Let's say it the way God says it. And the sheep will say, amen. The sheep will feast on. And then here's the last thing. Follow. Love, obey, follow. And I think follow includes faith. You'll notice here in John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus says to Simon Peter at the end of verse 19, he says, follow me. That's not the first time he said that to Peter or to these other disciples, follow me. He said, follow me before, at the beginning of their ministry, I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me. And then Simon Peter, look at verse number 20. Turning about, he sees the disciple that Jesus loved following. And he seems to find a little bit of fault with John for following. Well, that's what the Savior just said, dude. Follow me. Peter looks over and the Savior's walking away. And there goes John. And Peter says to him, what's this man going to do? What's this man going to do? And the Lord Jesus said in verse 22, he said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what's it to you? What's it to you? You do what he's doing, follow thou me. Simon Peter, you got to love him. Because he's all the time putting his foot in his mouth. He's just... if it comes up, it's coming out. That's the way it was with Simon Peter. And the Savior says, follow me. And he sees John get up and starts following the Savior. He says, what's going to happen to him? How's he going to die? What's up with him? And the Lord says, basically, it's none of your business. Follow thou me. You follow me. I tell you, it's one of the characteristics of the sheep of the Lord. They follow him. John 10:27. It's the reason I read that passage. My sheep hear my voice. What is the voice of the shepherd? It's the gospel of redeeming grace. It's the gospel of substitution. It's the gospel of satisfaction. It's the gospel of how God can be just and justify the ungodly through the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I love them. And they all have this mark. They follow me. They follow me in faith. They follow me as the example that I set before them. They follow me. They submit to my word. They submit to my will. If I'm a child of God, I'm a follower of Christ Jesus. I'm not a follower of a preacher. I'm not a follower of, I appreciate John Gill, but I'm not a follower of John Gill. I'm not a follower of John Calvin. I'm not a follower of Charles Spurgeon. And I wouldn't want to shock you, but I'm not a follower of Henry Mahan. I'm a follower of Christ Jesus. Somebody said, you people up there at that church, they blindly follow the preacher. I hope not. Let's be like the Bereans and search the scriptures daily and make sure these things are so. We follow the Savior. We follow Him. I seek to mold my doctrine, to mold my thoughts, to mold my words, to mold my character, to mold my deeds after the example of Christ Jesus. I follow Him. We're students of the Savior. We bow to His teaching. And any teaching contrary to His teaching, we turn away from. And in following Christ, we're not to concern ourselves with what other men are doing or what other men or women are doing. You see, this was Peter's problem here. Follow me. What's going to happen to that guy? What business is it of yours? That's between me and him. I'm talking to you, Simon Peter. Why you concern yourself in John's business? We tend to do that. You hear a message and say, boy, I hope so-and-so heard what he had to say. You hear it and you just kind of throw it over your shoulder. That's for somebody else. That's for somebody else. That's the way it was with Simon Peter. No, this is for you, Simon Peter. Follow thou me. Follow thou me. And following the Lord Jesus, we seek to glorify Him. We seek to honor Him. And I'll give you this real quick. I must follow where He leads. Number one, I must follow whether my family follows Him or not. I hope they will. I pray they will. I long for them to follow Him. But if they're not going to follow Him, by the grace of God, I am. I am. I don't know what others are going to do, but by His grace, I'm going to follow Him. Number two, I must follow Christ regardless of my want to, regardless of my desires. The flesh wants a good many things, but listen, the Lord Jesus, He's my Savior, He's my Master. I follow Him. Number three, I must follow Christ regardless of personal cost. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 12 where the writer of Hebrews basically says to those Hebrew believers, you haven't suffered under blood yet. You may have had some tough times, but you ain't been persecuted yet. I paid a small price for following Christ down through the years. And there have been a lot of times I've failed, but I've tried to do what He would have me to do. And even when other people said, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't listen to other people. Now, I say I don't listen to them. They may be very wise, but ultimately, I've got to follow what I feel like the Lord would have me to do. And that's the way it's got to be with you. That's the way it was when I came down here. There were people who said, you're not going to go down there, are you? What are you leaving this nice church up here for? Everything's going good, comfortable, and Why would you ever want to do that? Only thing I can tell you is the Lord put a burden on my heart. Regardless of personal cost, regardless of what anybody says, you got to do what you feel like the Lord to have you do. And I must do so, and you must follow Him willingly and lovingly. Not, okay, I'll go, but I don't like it. I'll do what He would have me do, but I'm not happy about it. Well, that's a bad attitude. Let's do what we're supposed to do and what He calls us to do and do it out of love. Why must I follow Him? Because He owns me. That's why. He owns me. And when must I follow Him? Always. Well, if I follow Him, where will my pathway lead me? Well, I don't know where it's going to lead you on this earth. But I can tell you where it will ultimately lead you. And I'll give you this and we'll quit. Go back to John 13. You follow Him. I'll tell you where you'll wind up. John chapter 13. Look at verse 36. Once again, Simon Peter said unto Him, Lord, whither goest Thou? Where are you going? He said, I'm going away. Where are you going? And the Savior answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now. I'm going to die, and I'm going back to the Father. You can't follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards, because you're going to die. And you'll follow me right into the Father's house. Love, obey, and follow. God helps to do that. To love Him, to obey Him, to feed His sheep, feed His lambs, and to follow Him. Lord, bless the word that has